From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. I'm Dan Dreyer. Good morning. Faculty from the California State University system are taking steps toward a possible strike. Salary negotiations between the university and faculty are stalled. The impasse worsened last week after CSU trustees approved a 4% pay raise for top administrators. Faculty, students, and staff will rally today on the Sacramento campus. Cecil Canton, a criminal justice professor in Sacramento, says the university needs to return to the bargaining table with a new set of priorities.
You know, we'd like them to get rid of these lavish perks that they give the administration and start focusing on the health and the strength of the CSU system.
It could be weeks before a strike vote is authorized. Rallies have already been held at other CSU campuses. Los Angeles County was considering a law banning trans fats, but recently found out it doesn't have the legal authority to impose the ban. That doesn't mean LA will give up. The county and the city are announcing new voluntary initiatives tomorrow. Rachel Miro reports from Los Angeles.
For Los Angeles City Councilman Jose Huizar, the fat fight is personal. Huizar's not pudgy, but he has been battling high cholesterol levels for 3 years.
In this day and age, when we have, for the first time in the history of the United States, a generation that has a lower life expectancy than the previous one, that should alarm all of us.
Nutritionists blame America's expansive love affair with fried and prepackaged foods. Trans fats pop up in a lot of those. L.A. City Council members plan to push a voluntary trans fat phase-out over the next 18 months, with the backing of local restaurants and national chains that are swearing off the stuff. L.A. County will squeeze from another side, too, says Supervisor Yvonne Burke.
We'll ask the public health people to come up with a voluntary plan. And one of the things that they are talking about is you could have at restaurants a little emblem, we do not use trans fat.
L.A. may soon get stricter limits imposed via Sacramento, where several bills targeting trans fats are pending. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro in Los Angeles.
Childhood obesity is also among California's biggest public health challenges, putting kids at greater risk of diabetes and other problems. Experts say a prime reason is a lack of exercise. But even as schoolyard PE classes are being cut back across the state, private gyms are offering children and teenagers another way to create new health habits. Beth Ford Roth has more.
As if to prove the point that fast food temptation is everywhere, the My Gym in this Encinitas shopping center is, interestingly enough, sandwiched in between a Dairy Queen and a Mexican food joint. No word so far on whether that's good or bad for business. Walk into My Gym and you'll notice it sounds a lot like any other gym. But the bodies working out to the music are a whole lot smaller than your average health club. And the equipment is a lot different here.
We have a big blow-up, we call it the hot dog, to jump on. And we also have like a castle that you would maybe see similar in a playground. And we have a ball pit. We have the balance beam and the parallel bars, high bars, a lot of gymnastics equipment.
That's Tricia Stuber. She's the director of this My Gym franchise. It's true, you're not going to find treadmills, Stairmasters, and stationary bikes here.
And we are going to practice doing our tummy pullovers.
Instead, the trainers at My Gym capture the short attention spans of their three-year-old clients by helping them do somersaults, twirl on parallel bars, and jump on a small trampoline in the bright red, yellow, and blue room. Toe-headed Abigail Schnabel likes to move to the music.
We dance.
My Gym offers classes for kids 3 months to 13 years. There are roughly four dozen My Gym franchises, just like this one in California, and 150 across the country and in other countries like Korea, New Zealand, and France. The San Fernando-based company is part of a growing trend of health clubs and gyms specifically for children and teenagers. The International Health, Racquetball, and Sports Club Association says kids under 18 are the second fastest growing health club demographic. Parent Annette Hagavisha makes sure to schedule gym time for her children because she fears they won't have time to exercise otherwise.
Well, I think what's happening is with the standards, with No Child Left Behind, you know, you're getting more homework. I try to let them just go out and play and explore in the yard and stuff, but usually it's like you need to get your homework done.
According to the experts, Hagavisha's concern for her children is well-founded. Dr. Simon Marshall says physical exercise has been systematically engineered out of children's lives. Marshall is a professor of exercise and nutritional science at San Diego State University. He says the new wave of childhood obesity can be blamed in part on the diminishing quality and quantity of physical education in schools.
Over the years, with standardized testing and the pressure on schools, school physical education is one of those that really gets put by the wayside. It's the first to go because it's considered a kind of a discretionary time for kids, and they don't realize how valuable physical education is. It isn't just about movement.
In fact, the California Endowment just released a report that finds PE can actually improve academic performance. Compounding the lack of PE, Marshall says, is the fact children aren't exercising as much away from school. One example, a third of children live within a mile of their school, but only one-third of those kids actually walks or bikes to class. Marshall says as far as the kid gym trend goes, he's for anything that gets children active and moving. His concern is that the kids who need exercise the most don't have the resources to work out at a children's gym.
That the children who are likely to take advantage of that, or I should say the parents who take advantage of that, are probably going to be more affluent, and I'll probably say white parents who can afford it. They're not cheap, and we know that the highest rates of obesity and inactivity are not children of white affluent parents. It's usually minority children, especially girls.
Marshall has a point. The crowd here at my gym is primarily white, and Encinitas is an affluent North San Diego County community. It costs roughly $70 a month for once-a-week classes at my gym. Gym director Tricia Stuber agrees there should be a way to address the access issue.
I think it would be good to get out into some of those less fortunate communities where we're maybe passing out more coupons, passing out what we call our My Gym Bucks, where they can use them towards classes, and maybe just forming some sort of program special for them, just so this is more readily available to all children.
The My Gym parent company is currently raising money for a nonprofit facility specifically for disadvantaged children in Los Angeles. And one of the recommendations of the California Endowment Report is to make PE a core subject of the No Child Left Behind law, so children in every community can have access to physical education classes. For the California Report, I'm Beth Ford Roth.
That's the California Report for Monday, January 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Dan Dreher. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, the Walter S. Johnson Foundation, and the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems, on the web at chcf.org.